The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander and Calais Bidelon, everybody. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. What's happening? How'd your weekend go?
It was good. Up and down. Up and down.
It was good.
It was interesting. I mean, me betting college basketball heavily for 4 days is always a roller coaster. Friday was a disaster.
I just want to say, you know, the VSiN Bracket Challenge, you're in like 12th place. 12th.
No way. Yeah. Of everybody?
Yeah, and I'm like 23rd despite like an 8-game losing streak at one point. Because
of,
I think
of
what
everybody or just no, the VSiN
no, no,
people.
Just the VSiN people. Okay. Everybody's a different story. Everybody's a different story. By the way, maybe we should just start there. I didn't plan on starting there, but the VSiN thing.
Shout out to
Karina Mitchell, our own Karina Mitchell, who's in first place. Sean Green from the Sports Betting Pod. He's in second. Miles Gwynn behind the scene is third. And Matt Brown is fourth. Jared Moore, by the way, also at fourth place with Matt Brown. Now, to the main event.
The main event.
All of our listeners. Omar_Ara. I don't know your full name, but 23-6-1. Remember, this was 20 first round picks ATS or total, and then the second round was 10 over 2 days. 23-6-1, first place headed into the Sweet 16. So congratulations, currently anyway, for Omar with a couple Brandons in second and third. How about that? All right. So VSiN Bracket Challenge. Thanks to everybody who's participated.
Man, that is
$3,000 first prize.
23-6-1.
That's pretty good.
Pretty damn good start.
Pretty good. By the way, we will have Carl Sack talking NBA on the show today. Tyler Shoemaker will talk college hoops with us, both men's and women's. And of course, Wes Reynolds, all his thoughts on the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament and the Sweet 16 moving forward, all the lines. Just let's do the administrative stuff first, because we'll do the numbers game administrative stuff. The formula, not much has changed at the top. We had five teams eligible going in, or five teams that qualified for our tried and true formula that has correctly predicted the national champion almost without exception for the last 25, 35 years, depending on the category. And it remains the only sacrifice was Iowa State, which was a late entry into who qualified. Again, last 34 champs, more assists than the turnovers, 32 of the last 34 with a head coach with prior Sweet 16 experience, 28 of the last 29 went into the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. The exception there, the UConn Huskies of 2014, last 29 champs at a top 75 strength of schedule, and then 21 of the last 22 top 20 in adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency at KenPom. The offensive exception, the 2014 UConn Huskies. The defensive exception, the 2021 Baylor Bears. So it's really, and by the way, the coaches' exceptions were was Kevin Ollie in 2014 with UConn and Danny Hurley in 2023 with UConn. So really, besides UConn, there's only but one exception, the 2021 Bears of Baylor in that last category. So everything else, it comes from this bucket of teams. And going into the tournament, the only sacrifice now of the five we had, Auburn, Duke, and Houston qualified every week that we looked at this since I got back from vacation after the Super Bowl. So we had 4 weeks of this leading into the tournament. And then Tennessee and Iowa State joined right before the tournament. Iowa State, with Keyshawn Gilbert out, was never really a true contender, I guess, with the injury, because obviously that changes their makeup. They're gone. But the other four remain: Auburn, Duke, Houston, and Tennessee heading into the Sweet 16. And the only fly in the ointment remains Florida, whose only disqualifier is that Todd Golden has not coached in a Sweet 16 prior to this year. And oh boy, did that get dicey with Florida staving off Dan Hurley and UConn.
Fun game.
Which we were really close to coming back to the comment I made last week, which is, are any of us none of us are going to talk about a three-peat possibility here? Like, this has not happened since 1973 when UCLA was busy polishing off their seventh straight. And we got close to having to come in here this morning and being like, oh, we all missed the plot of this whole thing. But not to be. Florida's still in there. And by the way, when that happens, when a close call happens, just sort of anecdotally, I think about NC State in 83 being a great example of this, but there's so many through the years. When you have a close call, you know, so many of these eventual champions have that. And NC State, I believe, had a double overtime game on their way to the title, Jim Valvano's title in 1983, and there have been so many of those since. So maybe that's just the challenge that Florida needed, pressed by UConn. By the way, Dan Hurley couldn't have handled that better after the game. And by couldn't have handled it better, I mean couldn't have handled it worse. Just, you know, screaming at the Baylor players who were walking on the court after his game. I hope the refs don't screw you, too. Yeah, not really, buddy.
Oh,
so Duke remains. So really no change in the formula. Duke remains the short shot +230 in the betting market to win it all. Florida is the fly in the ointment. They're 3-1. And then it's Auburn and Houston, both at 5-1, followed by Tennessee at 17-1. And the only future I have in all of this, Alabama at 18-1, who's the sixth short shot here of the remaining Sweet 16. That is literally the exact number I got them at after last season. So nothing has happened.
It is feeling very way too early reactions based off of two rounds, Gil Alexander. Duke and Florida looking really, really dang good. I thought it was a bad first half by them the other day against UConn. UConn played really well.
Well, I thought UConn left a lot of points on the board.
Yeah.
They had a lot of open looks on threes early that they clanged off the rim. And then they had a lot of chances to sort of extend the lead late in the first half, and they blew that
right. Yes.
As well.
Yeah. Man, watching this Florida team, it is just, man, they've got talent everywhere, seemingly.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. But I just want to say this about the tournament. This, I don't know if we're the only ones who would say this. I assume not. But it does feel like, and by the way, let me just preface it by saying, March Madness is great no matter what, right? The big day, everything I'm about to say does not diminish how awesome it is with Survivor, with brackets, with, you know, contests, with your bets, with everything like that. It's still the most fun event there is.
It's the it's the greatest sporting event there
is. It's awesome. However.
However, say it, Gil, so I don't have to be the guy. Good.
However, I just want to say this. We are, if not already in it, we could be entering an era where this gets less upsetty as the years go on. And a lot of that has to do with the transfer portal where these mid-majors get poached. Like, if you're good, hey, come over here. We'll give you more money. And so what we ended up having was teams seeded 13 through 16 went 0-16 in the first round.
Yeah.
0-16. That's not good, by the way. Their average margin of defeat, a whopping 22.6 points per game. That seeds 13 through 16 in the first two rounds. We also had this streak going that a team in a double-digit seed ended up in the Sweet 16 every year since 2008. We barely survived that. We barely survived that with Arkansas as a 10 seed getting the Sweet 16. The other sort of, and this is not a macro thing, this is more maybe a micro thing, we also had in the first 2 days of the tournament, the first round, we had a near historic, absolute anemic effort from behind the arc collectively by all teams. I'm not just talking about tournament history. I'm talking about NCAA basketball history since the year 2008. That was one of the top, let me get this exactly right, I think the sixth worst performance from behind the arc by all teams collectively in the first round of the NCAA tournament. What does that mean? Usually what creates an upset is it's one of two things. You either slow the game down so much that there are fewer possessions and you could beat a better team that way, or you have positive variance from behind the arc. That wasn't happening in the first round either. So, oh, and then the other big thing we talked about was the KenPom thing with Joe Pita brought up, which is 0-39 headed into this tournament. If you were not, now this is different from what I was talking about, but 0-39 headed into this tournament, if you were not in the AP preseason top 25 and you were a 1 or 2 seed, you've never gotten past your seeding. So in other words, if you're a 2 seed, you've never gotten past the Elite Eight. If you're a 1 seed, you've never gotten past the Final Four. Well, we had two teams that applied to heading into this tournament, St. John's and Michigan State. St. John's, see ya. So now we're 0-40. With that KenPom trend, with only Michigan, by the way, he was the one who uncovered it, with only Michigan State sort of still alive to buck that. And if you say to yourself, well, why does that matter? What is the sense behind that? It's the Ed Fang thing where it's like, well, listen, we don't pay attention as better as much to the AP top 25 poll. But in essence, there is some wisdom in it because the college basketball season really isn't that massive of a sample size. We tend to think it is because we live through 30 games and it's a few months of our lives. But it really might not be sometimes like overwhelmingly sort of dismissive of what the initial thought was heading into a season. And so Michigan State trying to buck the over 40 trend on that. But generally speaking, I mean, we have four number ones, Kelly, here's your Sweet 16, four number ones, three number twos, St. John's being the sacrifice there when they lose to Arkansas. Arkansas, the only double digit seed to make the Sweet 16, two number threes, Wisconsin and Iowa State, again, with Keyshawn Gilbert out, Wisconsin and Iowa State bounced of the threes, three fours, only A&M out. They lose to Michigan. So what's left? That's 12 of the 16 right there, our top four seeds, including the four number ones. The only four seeds that are in the Sweet 16 that are not top four seeds are 1-5, Michigan, 2-6s, BYU and Mississippi, coached by Chris Beard, and then Arkansas, the only double-digit seed at 10. And Arkansas is an SEC team who, again, record seven SEC teams make the round of 16. ACC had the previous record of six back in the day. I think it was 2016 when the ACC had six. Yeah, six in the Sweet 16. So the SEC ends up with Bama, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. But also four from both the Big 12 and the Big 10. ACC with only Duke, only four conferences represented. So that's obviously as conferences, you know, change through the years and meld together. That's obviously going to be something moving forward. So those are all the sort of macro things of the tournament. And it's fascinating that it's still at the top. Chalk McChalkerson. Nothing has really changed.
Yeah. And like you were saying, man, it's going to be interesting to see over the next few years. Is this become a thing?
I think that streak of double digit seeds always making the Sweet 16, I think that's going to get snapped one of these years. We'll come back. What did announcers say stupidly? That and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Your bracket might be done, but the tournament is not. Neither are your chances to win. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99 and turn tournament heartbreak into betting success with daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, full VSiN.com access with expert analysis and betting systems, plus our March Mania betting guide, your game plan for profitable plays. Don't let a busted bracket keep you from winning. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe for just $9.99. Let VSiN help you turn the madness into money. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's nice meeting Jensen before the show.
Great guy. Great to see him and Dave in studio together.
He's got to put up with Dave every day. My God, what a gig.
Good on him.
Oh, my God.
In the frigid temperatures in here.
Anyway, we love Dave, by the way. I am out of Survivor, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's like Kramer in that Seinfeld. I'm out.
So we were talking about it quick during the break.
Out.
I know one of yours was on UNC Friday, too. I only had one entry. I went UNC Friday, did the rebuy. And you were just chuckling. I went to St. John's on Saturday.
Yeah.
But like, well, this is what's great about Survivor, right? Whereas I was targeting St. John's because I wanted to get him out of the way because I didn't have any interest.
Quickly enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's I play differently than you or Ben plays. Ben is still in it. Right. Ben is. I was talking to Ben about it last night or texting with him about it. I had three entries. Again, there is one Mulligan. There is one rebuy. But I'm trying to get in position heading into the Sweet 16 to actually win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Right. So one entry I had UCSD, I mulliganed on Colorado State, that one, but then I got knocked out by McNeese. Entry number two, I hit on Drake, then it was Carolina, mulliganed on them, Gonzaga. Then the one that I had going into last night, Arkansas, first round, correct, Xavier, mulligan, BYU on Saturday, and then last night, Oregon, because I wanted to set myself up. And so I'm out. I'm out on all of them. But that, I wouldn't have played it any differently.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm saying the same thing you are, though. I wanted to get St. John's out of the way because I had I think I was talking to Rick Gaiman last week, right? To me, there was no interest for me playing that team later in the tournament. So I was trying to get a W with them, right, and then move on from them.
Yeah. By the way, about that 1-2-3-4 making the second round, since the bracket expanded in 1985 to 64 teams, that's the sixth time 1-2-3-4s all went to the round of 32. And obviously, as we just documented, 12 of the 16 in the Sweet 16. Okay, this has become, well, let's do, we have a couple numbers game traditions on the Monday after the first two rounds heading into the Sweet 16. One is the most annoying commercials. The most annoying commercials. Obviously, the Super Bowl gets all the headlines for the most annoying or for the best commercials, right? It's become a sort of cottage industry talk about what's your favorite commercial in the Super Bowl because all those companies pay so much money for those. But really, it really should be a March Madness thing because the first 4 days, you are captive to these never-ending commercials running mm-hmm. a billion times. It's like you're listening to a radio station with frequency. You may remember last year. Remember last year, the candidates, so it was the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial last year, the box out one.
Yeah, which is, I mean, they've basically just rolled over.
Okay. There was the Chet Holmgren SGA one last year for AT&T where it was, they started singing the Christina Aguilera, what a pro wants. That was awful.
That was terrible.
That was terrible. All right, this year.
So there's updates to both of those.
Yes, and by the way, they both made it to the candidates for most annoying commercials of the first 4 days of March Madness. You ready for the candidates?
Yes. All right. Give me the candidates.
Candidates. Number one, again, the OKC trio. This time they added Jalen Williams to Holmgren and the SGA in an AT&T commercial where they all wore the same outfit.
Yeah, it's very okay to me, though, that one.
It was less annoying than last year.
Here's the problem. I think because of last year, I can't really say it's all that bad It's such an upgrade from last year.
Last year was so bad.
So bad.
Chet Holmgren singing Christina Aguilera was not good.
You remember the story we read afterward about that? How they like asked Chet to do that like the year before or something when he was hurt and he had no interest?
This desire to make Chet Holmgren into a likable pitch man ain't the move.
I'll take it even a step further. The trio like of them being like, let's add Jalen Williams this year. We've got to get people to care about Oklahoma City basketball.
Also make them win something first before we sort of commit.
That's where I think they're trying to get ahead of that. Yeah.
And then again, the Buffalo Wild Wings, again, voiced by former SNL cast member Beck Bennett. You look great. You do not look great. Let's go sports bar.
Okay, the one where the one where he's wearing all the glasses, yeah, it's annoying. Okay, that one's stupid. But there's you know what? Overall, Hank is a character. I appreciate Gil. I think he was a good. I think he's a good mascot addition for Buffalo Wild Wings.
Candidate number three for iPhone 16. Why are you walking so slowly? It makes this scene feel more cinematic. This not cinematic? No, I get it. That's just where there's a giant explosion behind us. Maybe it's not the best time to walk in slow motion. It's the only time to walk in slow motion. Don't look back. It ruins it. That one, can't stand it. The slow motion one?
Yeah, this is another one where I'm like, every year.
Why are you walking so slow?
Like, they have a lot of bad commercials. iPhones do, period. Like, guess what? Just let us know when a new one's out. We're all going to go buy it anyways.
And I think this is the winner, candidate number four. For some reason, Geico decided they were going to re-air a 2010 commercial. Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Did the little piggy cry wee, wee, wee all the way home? And then you are subjected to the wheeze of the little piggy.
So annoying.
The
I mean, I think the
There's
line...
There's your winner.
I think the line at the end's funny, but like not when I have to hear the wee yelling for 20 seconds or whatever it is. Can I add a positive one?
Please.
I think the positive progressive ones are kind of funny. Like that guy...
The Blake Griffin ones?
No.
The Blake Griffin ones I thought were great.
Okay.
What are those?
I guess I'm missing that one, but yeah. It's like the guy who's like working in the office and he keeps they're saying passive progressive instead of passive aggressive, right? So he keeps like dropping lines like on like, hey, like since you got that raise, like maybe you could like pay for everybody's lunch, stuff like that. I don't know. There's one scene at the end though where his boss comes in and he's like, hey, finally getting some support. That must be a nice feeling. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like everybody working could relate to something like that. It was hilarious.
Of these Sweet 16 spreads here, are there anything that you like? Do you feel confident enough to play any of these?
I made a bet already.
What'd you make?
I made one bet. One bet, Steve Fezzik. I laid five with Florida already.
Over Maryland.
Yep.
Wow. Maryland, by the way, who the only buzzer beater. If you have the buzzer beater prop, it cashes. Maryland gets it done for you. Maryland overcomes Colorado State, which would have been a true Cinderella. Maryland does so. They a three from Colorado State with just over 3 seconds left. And then Queen from Maryland, the freshman, again, part of the Crab Five of Gillespie, Miguel, Reese, Rice, and Queen. Queen gets the ball and takes, what do you think, 3.5 steps?
Yeah. Great shot, though.
And everybody was debating this on Twitter, and he banks it home for the true buzzer beater, and the Terps get to their second Sweet 16 since they won the title in 2002. And for their efforts, they go to the Chase Center in San Francisco to take on Florida.
I loved the story after it, Gil, because to me, this drives me nuts whenever I hear this in basketball. There's two very different things to me. Your star player or a star player coming to the coach and say, give me the ball. That's one thing, right? But when you hear the story of the coach being like, all right, last possession, we're down. Willard's, who wants it?
Willard's got nothing planned.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, what? Like, wait, what? You're a head coach? You can't be like, I don't have a plan. Who wants the ball? Like, is that really what happened?
Queen is like, give me the MF ball.
Yeah, like,
they did. He banks it in. Now, I just want to say this about the travel or not travel. It's clear, like, we grew up, that's a travel, right? When we grew up, that's a travel. Just like when we talk about the NFL. When we grew up, that's a catch, right? But the rules in the NFL have made it so granular on what is and what is not a catch that we have to go to the, you know, Zapruder film replay to decide if something's a catch or not. In basketball, we have gone the other way with traveling, right? We have gotten so lax about what constitutes a travel and what does not. Oh, we gathered here, and so that step doesn't count on the gather and all this stuff. It's such a travel when we were kids. Like, if that was us playing basketball when we were kids, it's such a travel. But now, did you even blink that they didn't call it? I didn't.
No. Hey, man, everybody's getting paid. Kids are getting paid. It's the NBA, Gil. Just let them do their thing.
The only thing.
Would you rather have a travel call or a great shot like that for us to talk about?
That's exactly right.
I can't stop thinking about that coach. This is like J.J. Redick in the playoffs. Like, all right, guys, get out of the round. Who wants the last shot here? We're down two.
I thought
Rui? That. We're going to go Rui? All right, no, Austin Reeves. He wants it. Luka, just be a distraction over there.
I thought the same thing. Kevin Willard, who, by the way, Todd Wishnev has played basketball with. I'm not sure if he's ever told you that story before. Yes, the fact that he would go in the biggest moment of their season two. Okay, guys. Only Queen.
Who's
only
got Queen. The heart? Like, what is this? Isn't a movie, man. Have a plan.
Did the other four guys like be like, I don't want it. Give it to Queen. Anyway, the only thing that I love is not on the Thursday slate. I don't really like all these. I kind of think Michigan is getting too many against Auburn. 7.5.
Yeah, I thought the same.
I just feel like Michigan, right before the Big Ten tournament, Michigan was it, there was nobody saying that they were anything of any import whatsoever. And they go ahead and they have their run in the Big Ten tournament. And now here they are in the Sweet 16. I'm not saying they're going to beat Auburn, but 7.5 seems like a lot to me with those Twin Towers. That's the only one that I love in terms of the spread right now.
I'd say the only other one that jumped out to me was Michigan State, but man, Ole Misses look good.
Tom Izzo, his 16th Sweet 16 appearance. Is that good? Carl Sack on the NBA and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
EdgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Caught you off guard, didn't I? Deposit $25 and EdgeBoost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Brad Billups. How about the second round, second half over trend? 70-ish percent winner. Did you know about this? Second half over, second round? It's not one that I'm locked into.
But I mean, like, almost like, I mean, NCAA tournament, you could tell me that's a trend in any round. I'd believe it just because of free throw shooting.
That's right. Kevin Ryan, Gil, Cinderella is dead in my humble opinion due to NIL money. As you said, the best players from the lesser schools are entering the portal for a payday. The Loyola of Chicago days of making it deep into the tournament are over. Chalk it up. I think it's going that way.
One comment real quick on this. College basketball might have screwed a lot of this up after college sports in general, but still, foundationally, the fact that we go back to the players actually making a little bit of money putting on this incredible entertainment product, that still matters to me more than the rest. I'm still happy that these kids are getting paid. It's not really their fault that then college basketball with transfer portal and everything else has kind of let this get out of control.
Agreed. Foundationally, I like your word. But they need some kind of regulation to it.
I agree. I mean, it is spiraled. It is spiraled very quickly.
It's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
Hoops by Hoots. Whee! Just talking about the pig. It's just the did Geico decide after 15 years it was okay to put this good switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Who decided we wanted to bring that back?
I don't know. Remember someone tweeted it at us last week? How did they know that ahead of time that it was coming back? That's all I kept thinking about.
They worked for Geico? I don't know. Fake follower. I have Florida +950, Auburn +340, Duke +370, and Houston +750. Based on your March 3rd formula that I booked that day, what could possibly go wrong? Thank you. You're welcome, fake follower. What could possibly go wrong? And he did it based on the March 3rd formula. I like it. He also adds, we're here in New York. We here in New York are happy that St. John's is out of it. If they would have continued to the Sweet 16 or Final Four or Elite Eight in between, we in New York would be left out because you can't bet New York teams here. New York Mets 16. Scott, you want to talk about pushing unlikable pitchmen? How about Blake Griffin? I've seen him in like three commercials and no ability or personality. I kind of liked him. JT, speed to burn. The Geico commercial was so annoying, I'm having a pig roast Saturday. Brandon Webb. They just don't make him like the Bud Light of office swear jar commercial anymore. All-time favorite. Stringfellow Hawk, our buddy, says my 10-year-old daughter loves the old Geico commercial. King of Car Seats, Marriott band commercial, completely snubbed in your list, Gil. Have watched 14 minutes of basketball, but 69 marching band commercials. Tronsky, brackets are great and the Crab Five are fun to talk about, but games don't resume until Thursday. We have tennis today. Miami is heating up. Your thoughts on Ayala's Keys upset, Fonseca against Dimonor, Fritz Schapo, Feast Tiafo. Some great matchups today. As a matter of fact, I do have tennis plays. Can we get my tennis plays right now? Do we have a graphic for that? My tennis plays are on our tour feasts, by the way, against Francis Tiafo. They're all on the men's side. I am also on Fonseca as well. João Fonseca against Alex de Minaur. I got him as a plus money favorite. Again, plus money dog here. He's now minus money. I don't know that it's as good of a play right now. Feast you might be able to get actually at a better price than I got him at last night versus Tiafo. And the other one is I'm on Zizou Bergs as a big dog +169 versus Matteo Berrettini. The big thing we have coming up in 27 minutes, though, is Naomi Osaka's in action. We are two matches away from hitting the quarter at 7-1 and 4 away, perhaps.
Let's go.
66-1.
Let's go, Osaka.
She's a favorite today. Carl Sack joins us to talk some NBA with us, an NBA break, if you will, during March Madness, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Killer Cappers. How you doing, Carl?
Gil, how are you?
I'm good. Do you watch any March Madness? Anything?
So I do watch a little bit of it. I will say that I think that Geico commercial, the first time I saw it, I actually thought it was fairly entertaining. Once you see it about 18 times, it gets a little bit more annoying, but I thought it was kind of clever.
Okay. All right. We'll take it clever.
Hey, and I'll mention something, too. You guys were talking about the NCAA tournament round two overs. I was just looking into this because I have the database at Killer Sports has the last 12 years of NCAA tournament games. And over the course of about 800 games, the under has actually been profitable 52.5%. But if you just look at round two specifically, the over has hit 53%. So there might be something to that round two over trend that somebody noted.
He was talking about round two second halves also. I think Kelly's point is probably the obvious one, which is, well, in those games, we actually do revert a little bit back to old school college basketball. By old school, I mean more than 2 years ago, which is, hey, you actually foul for 2 minutes at the end of the game to try desperately to win a game. The old Jim Valvano thing. Back in the day in 83. But yeah, I mean, so it makes sense that way because it is your season. But we did see a couple give ups in the tournament. Was it Memphis was really weird at the end of their game where they're just, that was a first round game, but they're just like, yeah, whatever. I guess we lost. It's like, what are you doing? What are we trying to win? What's happening here? NBA. Kelly mentioned over during the break, he's looking at the Suns tonight. We have about eight games in the NBA tonight. Your words of caution about the Suns were what generally?
Oh, well, I mean, they've been terrible all season long against the spread. They have been playing well the last few games, but I think they are, I want to say, now 9-24 against the spread when coming off of a win. And they are off, I think, I want to say like three straight wins or something like that. And as far as that game goes, too, I think Lillard's being overvalued in the marketplace. I think they're going to be okay without him. And so, because, I mean, he's a fantastic offensive player, but not the best defensive player. So I would lean actually towards maybe taking the points here with Milwaukee.
Taking the Bucks are 2.5 point favorites on the road at Phoenix. This time of year, when you have teams in, for lack of a better term, tank mode, does that alone take you off games that you might otherwise play, generally speaking?
Oh, I mean, that's huge in the NBA.
No, I know, but I'm saying, do your numbers, no show knows that better than we do here, as we made a sort of cottage industry of Tankapalooza. But I'm saying from a, what you do from an ATS perspective, is that built into what you're doing? Does it cause you, does it make you pause before playing? How does that manifest?
I mean, I definitely look at the situational stuff, and it would be rare that I would play on a team that I deem to be tanking. That being said, you've got a game tonight, like, was it New Orleans versus Philadelphia, right? They're both tanking. So, there's potentially some opportunities with those teams, but I would say it's pretty darn rare that I back a team that is tanking versus a team that has motivation.
Okay, but what about a tank versus tank? You stay away, or you think there is opportunity and something like that? Because that, to me, for the casual, you'd be like, I don't want any part of that game.
You know, it depends. I think from a side perspective, it comes down to predicting who's going to play and who's not going to play. And in the morning, like right now, both those teams played yesterday, so there's no injury report formally. You might have caught something, with the coaches, you know, post game interview saying, hey, so-and-so might play tomorrow or might rest. Or there might be some trends that you've seen where certain players don't play on the second half of back-to-backs, and you can kind of get ahead of a number in that regard. I think from a totals perspective in these types of games, for me, it's typically over, play the over or pass. There's not a lot of defense that's played.
That makes sense. All right, what did you land on, or what are you looking at closely today?
So I think the best thing on the board right now is Chicago Bulls +3 against my Denver Nuggets. The Bulls are playing really surprisingly well. I've been betting against them lately, but they just keep winning and covering. They're, I think, 7-2 straight up in their last nine, 8-0-1 against the spread in their last nine. They're coming off that 30-point win at LA when LA was healthy. They're just playing really well, surprisingly. And the Nuggets, they played last night. Malone said Joker was doubtful to play tonight. I think he's the most impactful player in the NBA. And they're coming off of a really hard-fought win at Houston, which to me is kind of a letdown spot. They played heavy minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if Murray or Gordon sits tonight. Denver... they're also off of a four-game road trip, and that first game home for teams off a long road trip tends to be a little bit of a flat spot. So I took the points with Chicago tonight.
The Bulls, who don't know how to tank properly, and Josh Giddey's taking over, man. He's taking over, Carl.
Yeah, and I think he's going to play tonight. So, I've been really surprised at how well they've been playing.
Thunder on a 6-game winning streak. They win their last 11 to close out with a 17-game winning streak. And I know that's a big if, winning their last 11. But if they do, they will have the third best record in the history of the NBA. 82 games together. Or just percentage-wise, period, in the history of the NBA. That doesn't get mentioned enough, I don't think. Carl, appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Carl Sack, the most annoying announcers. And Tyler Shoemaker next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Kelly and I are always humbled after the show. We always have a listener,
so glad,
or two,
who
was outside of the studio. We're always surprised, right, by that. Everyone is super duper nice, listeners to the show. Big fans of the network in general. They typically are as well. And then come March Madness, it is a torrent of folks here at Circa. And you were saying you never remember there being so many people waiting outside.
It was really awesome. Yeah. I know you and I come on here and talk about how great you guys are out there who listen and watch every day and how much we appreciate it and coming by and stopping by and saying hi. But I mean, Gil, the number of people we ran into at Circa here alone
yeah.
would have probably been the most amount of fans that I've run into in a 4 or 5 day span. But man, just being around town on the weekend.
Yeah, man.
The Aria, Park MGM.
Virgin.
Matt and I were over at Dueling Pianos at New York, New York, and some guy came up and said something nice to us. And maybe had a few soda pops at that point. Actually, the best one.
Soda pops.
The best one was at Park MGM. Some guy, he randomly grabbed Matt to ask him to take a picture of him and his wife. They were going to the Golden Knights game. And he gets done taking the picture. He's like, hey, you're on VSiN, aren't you? I'm dying laughing in the background. It's great. No, thank you, all of you.
Thank you. Seriously, it's super nice. Everybody's also always awesome. And it's just and please always do say hello. Like, you know, it's wonderful to meet each and every one of you. And we have a blast. It wouldn't be anything without you listening and the feedback. Speaking of which, we get tweets at Beating the Book. A Brown down in Jungle Land. He says, if you want to complain about non-calls in that Maryland game, maybe travel on the iconic moment of this tourney so far is not the one to call out. The intentional elbow to the dome, a flagrant 2 in every game in the history of basketball, is probably the place to start. 3Jack H3131. I had Colorado State on the money line and ATS, so to me, Queen took about 10 steps. The post game throw to the studio, and they're claiming, quote, yeah, it looks like traveling, but you can't call it at that point in the game, unquote. That's asinine. Either we call things or we don't. 3Jack, I completely agree with you on that. That argument in any sport drives me up the wall. Oh, you can't call it there. Yeah, you can. It's just like every other second of the game. Scuba Scott. Can the career builder ad featuring the chimpanzees be included? In my opinion, the greatest Super Bowl commercial of all time, far behind. Just talking about the March Madness ones, but yes. Jason Stark, same thing in Connecticut with UConn and Yale being out. We finally have NCAA basketball futures offered. Oh, we had the listener from New York who was saying, thank God St. John's is out because we couldn't have bet on St. John's. So this is a gentleman from Connecticut saying that about UConn and Yale.
Yeah, great piece by Legal Sports Report. I know Matt Brown forwarded to me before the tournament of just detailing every state's, what's legal in each state. And there was like 27 states or something still that either you can't bet on college basketball, period, or some limitations on what you can bet.
Yeah. It's amazing. This is from Jack Oliquir. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Jack. Gil, I thought Queen's game-winning drive was traveling all the way. I know they don't call it as tight as they used to, but that one was over the top. Colorado State got screwed. It was a travel, but they just don't call it, and that doesn't make it right. I'm with you, Jack, on that. Jance Copperpot, I made it to day 5 in Survivor, and now it looks a whole lot harder. Help. Speaking of annoying TV, have we discussed last night's White Lotus yet? I may have missed it. I have not seen White Lotus, the latest episode. I am so disappointed with this season. I can't even begin to tell you.
I haven't started. I told you, Gil, I'm standing by what I said. You let me know when to start.
We're acting like this season is on par with 1 and 2 just because it's beautiful background.
I'm out then. It's too much out
there.
We're
just going to act like cinematography is the only thing that matters in life now. And that, here's a suggestion, plot development doesn't matter anymore. Drives me nuts.
Get him, Gil. Get him.
I'm so upset about White Lotus.
Yeah, HBO, what do you know? What do you know about good shows?
Tyler Shoemaker. Tyler. Yeah, okay. What do you know? What's your track record? Tyler Shoemaker joins us now to talk both men's and women's college hoops with us. At T Shoe Index is where you can follow him on Twitter. Tyler comes to us from in front of a wall. I hope everything's all right. Are you being interrogated? Are you all right?
I am not. This is just my temporary office setup until I can. Good long story. We were trying to sell our house. It didn't work out. So I'm kind of in disarray right now.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. I hope it goes better for you on the house sale.
Thank you.
Let's real quick brief aside to the women's tournament before we go back to the Sweet 16 here. What do we need to know? What are you betting?
Yeah, tonight, a lot of good matchups. I think NC State's now a 7-point favorite over Michigan State. I really like Michigan State in that game. Michigan State's been undervalued kind of all season. That's a team that I've been much higher on in my ratings than we've seen in the market I only make NC State about a 1.5 point favorite in that game. So I'm on the Spartans there. And then another one that I like is Florida State against LSU. I saw LSU live in person at the SEC tournament a couple weeks ago. Was not super impressed with them. Florida State's been playing really well. They covered by a million the other day. I make LSU about a 5.5 point favorite, and the market's got them at about 11 right now. So I'm on Florida State tonight as well.
Florida State tonight as well. And in the futures market, South Carolina is the short shot. Dawn Staley's Gamecocks 2-1, UConn plus 220, UCLA plus 550, Texas, USC, and Notre Dame rounding out the single-digit shots to win the ladies tournament here. Any value on anything? What would you bet right now?
Notre Dame's really hot right now. They're playing really well. If I was going to take a flyer on a team, that would be the team that I would do it with at plus 900. Otherwise, I don't really see a ton of value on the futures market right now.
Okay. And by the way, are the ratings, I mean, look, there's no Caitlin Clark anymore. Do we have any sense of if the ratings have fallen off a cliff this year?
You know, I have not seen any women's numbers. So that's probably an indication that they have dropped, I would guess, because I would assume if they've gone up, you know, we would be hearing about it. But no, I haven't heard anything on the TV ratings so far.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Some of the early handle stuff I saw looked like it was pretty similar.
Pretty okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm interested in that as well.
Yeah.
Florida State, leading scorer in the country, right, Tyler? I don't know her name, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But you don't know her name, do you?
No. Leading scorer in the country.
To the men's side, Sweet 16. What do you like here in these eight games Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, you know, I just got the projections done this morning. I'm kind of working a day at a time right now because there's so much action going on. So I actually haven't had a chance to really dive into the men's card here yet for the Sweet 16, but I'll run through my projections real quick for you. I've got Alabama as about a 3-point favorite over BYU, Florida 3.5 against Maryland, Duke only a 7-point favorite against Arizona, Texas Tech -4 against Arkansas, Michigan State -5.5 against Ole Miss, Tennessee -3.5 against Kentucky. I think that's going to be a tight game. And Auburn 2.5 against Michigan, and Houston an 11-point favorite over Purdue right now.
Ooh, Auburn only 2.5 against Michigan. That was the one that leapt out to me, which I was like, Michigan plus 7.5 just sort of feels like a play for me. So that looks like your biggest edge
My numbers have been high on Michigan. I actually called for them to win outright the other night against A&M, and they did. You know, they ended up kind of pulling away there at the end with some free throws. So my numbers were kind of dialed in on Michigan, so I'm anxious to see if that continues. You know, on the other side of that, though, my numbers were kind of low on Auburn against Creighton, and they ended up covering. So, you know, we'll see how that goes.
How has your tournament been so far, Tyler?
Very good, very good. You know, obviously it's a little bit easier on the women's side, a little softer market, so I've kind of cleaned up on the women's side. But men's side, I'm still up for the tournament, so I'm having a good week. So hopefully that keeps rolling.
What kind of limits are you getting on the women's side? Good limits?
No. I actually had a guy that tells me say that he's limited to like a $2.25 bet at one of the books.
But what is the most you can get down at any one? Like, what's the what are they offering? Or can you get a dime on there? Can you get a nickel on a game? What can you get?
Usually about 500.
Okay, interesting. And right now, do you have any futures on the men's side? Do you have anything pending? Or if I said to you right now, what's the bet? If someone's showing up for the March Madness right now, heading into the Sweet 16, they're like, listen, I want to have a futures bet. Where's the value?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the board, I mean, Alabama's a team that can just get so hot at any time because they score the ball so easily. That's a team that could get hot. I think Houston plus 500 is probably a decent futures look at plus 500. I think defensively, you know, they just suffocate teams. Obviously their games are very low scoring, so they kind of keep the variance down. So that would probably be a team I would take a flyer on as well.
Yeah, it's the only future I have, Alabama at 18-1, and it's again, I made it in, I don't know, May of this past year. That would be the most nonchalant cash I've ever had, because not for one second have I thought that it could get there. But you're right, Tyler, in that they have the sort of offensive variance where if they just went on a roll for four more games, no one would be that shocked, right, at that point. Tyler, good luck with all. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Tyler Shoemaker at T-Shoe Index. That's his ranking system there. Appreciate him coming on, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Wes Reynolds, all his Sweet 16 bets next.